You turn to the book of Joel. In Joel chapter 2, in verse 28, would you read it with me? Joel chapter 2, in verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maidservants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Now, how many of y'all know that we are a part of those days? Amen. Because it all began with the day of Pentecost. And God is still continuing to pour out His spirit. When I had my encounter with the Lord, and the Lord filled me and baptized me with the Holy Ghost, I had dreams and visions. Of course, it represented, it said, old men shall dream dreams. So I don't know. But I had a lot of dreams and visions. And I want to talk a little bit about visions tonight, or vision, which would be the name of the teaching. So we got to understand that God brings vision, or in even dreams, through His Spirit. Nothing is done without the Spirit of God. Amen?
Amen.
And it said, I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. So you know that it's happening. No man comes to the Father unless he's drawn. It's only the Spirit of God that draws us. And then He brings us into a position where He can fill us. But one of the things we have to constantly do is He brings stuff to us so that He recognizes us, just like what the Ron brother said tonight about a mirror in front of us. Sometimes we don't want to look. We don't like what we see. And when we refuse to see, we hear it from everyone else. Amen? But that's okay. Because it's that birth that we're going through. That birthing. Remember, the Holy Spirit does birthing. That's why we have a discipleship program that's 9 months, representing 9 months of pregnancy to get birthed.
Hallelujah.
Okay. So I want to share a couple things with you. And one of the things that it talks about right here, it says, and they shall what? They shall prophesy, and they shall dream, and they shall have visions. Well, these are three languages of God. He's going to give us one of the languages of dreams. He's going to give us one language of visions. He's going to give us a language of prophecy. Amen? So these are spiritual languages of God. Yes, we know that there's a still small voice, right? We know that the Word of God can speak to us. God can speak to us through circumstances. But these three major languages of God and how God is going to speak to us. When I was filled and baptized in the Holy Ghost, God spoke to me through dreams and visions more than He did anything else. And so I began to learn the Word. Okay. So one of the things that God is speaking to us right now, and one of the things we must have and obtain, is what we want to call a vision. A vision is very important in our life. Visions are divine revelations of images to bring guidance, direction, and foretell future for God's servants. Let me say that again. Visions are divine revelations of images. Divine revelation of images to bring guidance, direction, and foretell future for God's servants. I'll say it one more time. Visions are divine revelations of images to bring guidance, direction, and foretell future for God's servants. Amen? Everybody got it? Praise God. Turn to Psalm 89. Psalm 89. Visions are divine revelations of images to bring guidance, direction, and foretell future for God's servants. Oh, hallelujah. And in Psalm 89, you know, some of us haven't had images yet. I mean, visions. Now, the word image is a representation, just like your imagination, isn't it? In fact, that's where the word image, imagination, they come from. So in your imagination, what you want to do is turn it over to the Lord. God will utilize your imagination to speak to you. Actually, your imagination is a window to the other side, if you allow it to be used by the Lord, and not by your own flesh and your own desires. Amen? Because you know that many times you can see an image that ain't so good. Amen? Like a lustful image or whatever, or a hateful image or a revengeful image or whatever, vengeful image. So we got to understand that the image is a representation of your imagination, and you notice that word that comes out of there. So that is the window to the other side that God wants to use. Sometimes God will take it over. Sometimes we're not willing to yield our imagination to the Lord, so He's got to speak to us in dreams because we're not willing to yield. But there will be times when you can just be sitting there and the Holy Spirit will give you a vision in your imagination and you'll see it. And it's like, man, you know, did you ever hear the saying that a picture is worth 1,000 words? You know? And it's like, you know what's what, or you might not know right yet, but it's coming. But you just knew that it was from God. And that's where we have to have discernment by walking in the Spirit. Because there's many times people think something is of God, and they would lay down their life saying this is of God, but it's not. And that's why God puts us in fellowship and in offices for confirmation of things that are of God and not of God. Amen? Because what we're in here right now is Holy Ghost Boot Camp, Officers Training School. We're being trained constantly, and whatever it is. So this is where you and I have to lay down our agendas, our ways, and some of our old theology. Amen? So that we can get in the Spirit, because these are certain things that prevent us from getting in the Spirit. And in Psalm 89, in verse 19, would you read it with me? Then you spoke in a vision to your Holy One. So what did He do? He spoke in a vision, didn't He? In other words, the vision spoke to Him and said, I have given help to one who is mighty. I have exalted one chosen from the people. I have found my servant David. With my holy oil, I have anointed him. Amen. So with this we see that God spoke in a vision to an individual. Amen. Now, did it mean that God was standing there speaking to him? No. It meant that God, this vision represented a language that was able to understand. Does everybody understand that? Okay, good. Praise God. Let's go a little further. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Vision and visions. First Corinthians chapter 2. Everybody there? Verse 9.
Amen.
First Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. Read it together. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard. Now understand something. Eye has not seen or ear heard. Well, if a vision is worth 1,000 words or whatever, if God speaks to us in visions, then somebody has not seen or heard, has not had a vision yet, where God has spoken to him. And we'll talk a little bit more about this in a minute. Eye has not seen or heard, nor have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Now that's pretty powerful, isn't it? If you really think about it, so one of the things the devil doesn't want you to do is get in the Spirit so that you can't get the clarity vision that God is trying to bring to you. We'll talk here in a minute. In verse 11, for what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? So he's comparing just the spirit of a man compared to the Spirit of the Lord. Even so, no one knows the things of God except for what? The Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Now, how is God going to make this known to you? In visions.
Amen.
Does everybody understand that? These things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches. That's carnal understanding, isn't it?
Yeah.
Not which words man teaches. You know, we can all go to college and school and all kinds of stuff, learn all kinds of things and want to be doctors and psychiatrists and all kinds of stuff. But until you get the vision from the Lord, you won't know the direction.
Amen.
You got to have vision. These things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the what?
Holy Spirit
teaches. Which the Holy Spirit teaches. Comparing spiritual gifts with spiritual. So that means we must have discernment. So you must discern the vision that God gives you. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. So the natural carnal man will not understand the vision. For they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are what?
Spiritually
discerned. You know, many people get visions. They see something. But they don't know whether it's from God or not. Or they believe it's from God, but it's not. Amen? But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now, what is the mind of Christ? The Holy Spirit. He is the mind of Christ. Is everybody with me? Okay. So, a vision is revealed by the Holy Spirit. Right? There are things of God, that things that God has prepared for me and you. The natural man has no eternal vision or long-term vision. Is everybody with me? There are three types of visions. Three types of vision. There's a false vision. False. There's a vain vision. And there's a true vision. Has everybody got it? There's a false vision. There's a vain vision. And there's a true vision. There's also, and this coordinates with, in time sequence, there's a long-term vision. There's a short-term vision. And there's an immediate vision. There's a long-term vision, a short-term vision, and there's an immediate vision. So we know that there's three types of visions, and there's a false, a vain, and a true. Of course, when you get the true vision, you want to know whether it's a long-term vision, a short-term vision, or an immediate vision. Now, something that's long-term is something that's either going to happen within a year, something to that degree, a year to 10 to 20 years. You don't know. There's going to be a long-term fulfillment. A short-term vision is something that's shorter than that. Then there's an immediate vision, which means that you either have to do something now or within the next 24 hours. Is everybody with me? And I'll talk more about that. I'm just letting some things fly here for impartation. All right? Let's go to Romans 1. Simple teaching tonight, right?
Amen.
Praise God. Romans chapter 1. Praise God. Romans chapter 1. In verse 9. Romans chapter 1, verse 9. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my Spirit in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making requests if by some means, now at last, I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. Now that's pretty powerful what he says, that I might find a way in the will of God. In other words, he wasn't going to go his way. He was going to make sure that it was always the will of God. In other words, the Lord was directing him, wasn't he? Amen. For I long to see you that I may what? Impart to you some spiritual gift that you may be what? Established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now we got to understand something. Paul was coming to impart a spiritual gift. That spiritual gift was a vision. He came to, you know, if you think about it, when Jesus preached, what was he doing? When he was comparing and telling them in parables about the kingdom of God, he was imparting a vision to them, wasn't he? He was imparting vision. He was giving them direction. He was giving them guidance. He was giving them purpose, wasn't he? He was imparting a vision. And Paul's saying, listen, I want to get to you, but according to the will of God is when I'll get to you. Because when I get to you, I'll know that God will have something to impart in you, and this vision that I'm going to impart in you is going to encourage you. Ooh. This vision is going to encourage you. Let me tell you three things that visions will also do for you. They bring purpose. They bring goal. Goals. In other words, you have a goal. Purpose, goals, and objectives. And it all bottom lines to encouragement, doesn't it? God wants to encourage us. He encourages us with vision. So Paul was actually bringing a message of to impart vision to encourage them. What was he trying to do? Bring them purpose. Put goals in their life. Put objectives in their life, wasn't he? And it wasn't about carnal things, was it? It was about things of God. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Proverbs 29. I'm going to back up a little bit. I'm going to share with you that there are three types of visions. We said that there were false, vain, and true. Right? And there are three stages of visions. Long-term, short-term, and immediate. Amen. And three things about that a vision, in part of a vision, is to bring encouragement, isn't it? For purpose, goal, and objective. And in Proverbs chapter 29. Glory to God. Thank you, Master. Proverbs 29 and verse 18. Would you read it with me? Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law. Now understand this. This representation of the word revelation is vision, because vision and revelation shake hands to one another.
Amen.
Everybody got it? Vision, because revelation is a representation of something that God has revealed to you, and it always imparts a vision. It says, vision, if you don't have a vision, the people cast off restraint. What do they cast off? They cast off restraints of guidelines and following the Lord. And these guidelines are what keeps them from walking in the Spirit. They go towards the world instead of towards the Lord. It says, now listen, let me share something with you. Without vision, you have no purpose, do you? How many times has God given you a vision? He's imparted you in you something. You know, there's times when I'll be talking to someone, I'll say, so what's the Lord showing you? I don't know. That's too bad. You better get a vision. You better get something from God, man. Either that or it's God's trying to get it to you, but you're too caught up in the world to get it. Or you're too caught up in yourself to get it. Now, I hear a lot of people tell me about all kinds of stuff. Yeah, the Lord's put this on my heart, this. And some of this stuff, I'll know it's true. Some of the stuff, I know it's false, and some of it, I know it's vain. Because sometimes people do visions to... They utilize something. The vision that they got was just from their vainness. Yes, God is going to exalt me for all of this stuff. You know, Joseph got himself in trouble. He almost lost his life because the vision was between him and God. God didn't tell him to go tell his brothers what happened. Amen? Believe me. Some things you just don't want to say. Some things are private between you and God.
Amen.
Some people just can't. They got to express everything they think they got from God.
Amen.
Everything they got from God. Well, God told me this. God told me that. Well, that's crazy.
Amen.
This is where you have a relationship with the Lord, because if you're truly hearing Him, He's telling you what to say, when to say it, and if you're to say it. Amen? So we have to be careful of false vision, vain vision, so that we get a true vision. Amen? Because look what happened to Joseph, right? His own brothers tried to kill him. Because he was exalting himself. And the Lord showed him that what was going to happen. But God never told him to tell his brothers they were going to bow down before him. Hallelujah. So you got to use discernment. So if you're not walking truly with the Lord and in the Spirit, your discernment is going to be dulled. Oh, hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. In verse 1 through 4. Second Corinthians chapter 12. Praise God. How many of y'all know that you're when God gives you a vision of something, in other words, He puts a purpose in you, right?
Amen.
Now, sometimes you'll be going along and God will be showing you what you're supposed to be doing and so forth, and you're doing it, all of a sudden, it stops. And God's trying to bring you into another direction. In other words, He might have given you a long-term vision that hasn't been fulfilled yet, but He's given you short-term visions to assist you in fulfilling the long-term vision.
Amen.
Has everybody got it?
Amen.
So all of a sudden you're cruising along and it's like, man, you know, I don't understand, Lord. This just isn't what I thought, what I felt, what you showed me. Was this you? And He gives you something else. He's saying, come on, man. Get out of the way. Get out of the way so we can continue on. This is still part of it. I'm in control. So He may give you another vision that you think may be going off course.
Amen.
You may think it's going off course, but the thing is he stopped the boat for this vision and let you off so you can learn something else before you got back on the boat for the long-term vision.
Amen.
But some people won't get off the boat because they don't have the discernment why they're walking in the Spirit. And they try and hold on and hold on and hold on. Finally got to kick them off the boat. Amen? In chapter 12 and verse 1, it is doubtless not profitable for me to boast. I will come to what? Visions and revelations of the Lord. Wow, praise God. Paul had many visions and revelations. You and I should have visions and revelations. God is imparting a vision in me and you for a purpose, for His kingdom, for His glory. Like I said, if your vision is just for you to make a lot of money, that ain't from God. That's a vain vision. God imparts a vision in me and you, and the purpose is to expand the kingdom of God and bring glory to His name, not yourself. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or whether out of the body, I do not know. God knows. Such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows how he was caught up into the paradise and heard inexpressible words, which is not lawful for a man to utter.
Amen.
Paul had visions and revelations. He had direction. He had purpose. Not all of it was understood to Paul. But he continued on the course, didn't he?
Amen.
In other words, he didn't understand part of this, whether he was taken up. He didn't understand all of it, did he? But it didn't stop him, did it? He still continued on the course. He might not have understood some. You know how many people stop because they don't understand? You know why? They don't trust.
Amen.
They need to have everything. They want everything right now, or I'm not going any further. God can't use someone that has to have everything explained to them in every little bit and piece. Because you know what it is? There's not trust. There's not that relationship. Amen? You know what kind of relationship that is? Head.
Yes.
Not spirit. That's called head relationship. Some people don't understand about walking in the Spirit. See, walking in the Spirit has nothing to do with your head. Does everybody understand that? Because your head will push you out of the Spirit every time, man. Your head will bring self-exaltation. Your head will always lead you to the ways of the world. Your head will always try and give you formulas and how to make money and all kinds of stuff according to the ways of the world. Your head will always try to convince you that this is the way you need to serve God. There's a difference between a head relationship and a spirit relationship. Has everybody got it? Praise God. Then we can go forward. Numbers 12. Numbers chapter 12. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Numbers chapter 12. Now listen. While we're waiting for vision from the Lord, in other words, purpose, whatever, in other words, what is our part in the body of Christ? Right? Sometimes God delays a vision because He wants you to assist somebody else's vision. Has everybody got it? Sometimes He delays the vision because He wants you to assist somebody else's vision to where actually you become a part of that vision.
Amen.
You know, one of the greatest things that you and I could do is assist someone else's vision, then sometimes we get our own. But while we're assisting someone else's vision, we either become a part of that vision or God gives us our own vision. In other words, the Lord started me off in a ministry and my vision was, man, I wanted to be just how my pastor was. I mean, powerful miracle signs and wonders. And I still, that's my heart's desire. I want to always see signs and wonders and miracles. And so God had me in one place and used me as an intercessor for a miracle, sign, and wonder ministry. And then I was still part of that ministry and put me in the AIDS ministry there and then on the prayer line there and so forth. So I became a part of their vision to rescue souls, to see people get delivered and healed. So I became a part of their vision. Then when it was time for the Lord to separate me, He gave me my own vision. And then He sent me to another place. And I thought, well, this must be the place. And it was for a short season there. Did I try to figure it out? No. I just continued on what the Lord had put on my heart. Does everybody understand that? And He would give me confirmation. Hey, I had a lot of people come up to me and say, oh, you're going to do this and you're going to do that. Listen, so what? Thank you for the encouragement. I have a relationship with the King of Glory. He can speak to me just like you can.
Amen.
When my daddy tells me, no problem. I get all kinds of, man, aren't you going to this prayer meeting? You're supposed to be there. Oh, really? If my father wanted me there, he could have told me. You know, people get granola, nutty and fruity, you know. But that's where you have to get in the Spirit so you can have that discernment to know. You've got to know. And listen, in my beginning stages of my walk, I needed direction. Do you understand that? I needed someone to help me and encourage me and direct me. So I became a part of someone else's vision so I could learn. So I could learn. And then God would give me... I had a long-term vision. I never knew how it was going to be. That's like starting, you know, God shows you A and Z, but you don't know what the rest of the alphabet's going to turn out like, man.
Amen.
And that's where you have, that's where that relationship builds. Do you understand that? That's where it builds. So you're going to go through stuff, and it's going to give you immediate vision and short-term visions, and sometimes other long-term visions to assist the other long-term vision. Is everybody with me? Hallelujah. Where are we? Numbers 12. Praise God. Numbers 12. In verse 1, the Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. Now understand this, that God did not ordain them to marry out of their tribes, right? You know what I'm saying? Out of their culture. They were Jews. The Ethiopian woman was not Jew. Okay. So anyways. So, Miriam and Aaron, Moses' brother and sister, came against him about what he did. Okay. So they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Well, they were a little offended, weren't they? Has he not spoken through us also, and the Lord heard it? Now the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. So Moses could get away with stuff, man. Some people won't understand that.
Amen.
Suddenly the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, come out, you three, to the tabernacle of meeting. So the three came out. Then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both went forward. Then he said, hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a what?
Vision.
Vision. I speak to him in a what?
Dream.
Dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak to him how?
Face
to face. Even plainly and not in dark sayings. And he sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? So the anger of the Lord was aroused against them, and he departed. And when the cloud departed from above the tabernacle, suddenly Miriam became leprous, as white as snow. Then Aaron turned toward Miriam, and there she was, a leper. So Aaron said to Moses, oh my Lord. Now Aaron said to Moses, oh my Lord. Hello. Man, I forgot what I just said about you, man. Okay, I know who's behind you, no problem. He said, oh my Lord, please do not lay this sin on us in which we have done foolishly, in which we have sinned. Please do not let her be as one dead whose flesh is half consumed when he comes out of his mother's womb. So Moses cried out to the Lord saying, please heal her, O Lord, I pray. Then the Lord said to Moses, if her father had spit in her face, would she not be shamed 7 days? Let her be shut out of the camp 7 days, and afterward she may be received again. So Miriam was shut out of the camp 7 days, and the people did not journey till Miriam was brought in again. Now I want to explain a couple things here, first of all. The first thing that happened was Miriam and Aaron lost a vision of Moses. Do you understand that? They lost the vision, didn't they? Of what the purpose was. It wasn't about who Moses married, was it?
No.
It was about doing and leading the people. And God sent Miriam and Aaron to assist Moses. Now let me explain something to you. Miriam got afflicted by the leprosy. Aaron did not, because he was still wearing the priestly garments. When he took them off, he died. Ooh. When he was done with his priestly service, he died. Oh. Check that out now. So we see now, I'm going to give you an example. Years ago, this was when the Lord, I got really powerful revelation about this and about how we must be careful with things that we say. There was a woman in our congregation, and it was Bible study that night. And she'd always come up to me and she'd say, pray for me. And I'd pray for her. And I mean, now this woman was a believer for 30 years, you know. She's been coming to Bible studies now for about 6-7 months. And so she knew enough what was what. And so one night she came up to me after Bible study. And actually, we were all sitting around talking. And she said, pray for me. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, tell her to pray for herself. And I said, I think you need to pray for yourself. She shot me the finger. I thought, whoa, sweet woman that's been a Christian for 30 years. I had such peace about it and such protection. It was like, so be it. But it really revealed, whatever. She came to the Bible study the next time. She came in with sandals. She could not wear shoes. She had fungus all over her feet, both feet. She was in such pain. And then she asked us to pray for her feet. I thought, wow, Lord. And he let me know what the purpose was and what happened. See, we have to be careful.
Amen.
It has nothing to do with the individual. It has to do with the Lord. Do you understand it? It's not the individual.
Amen.
It's the Lord. Because the Lord says, if you do it unto them, you do it unto me. Amen?
Amen.
Now, what had happened here was Miriam was removed from the camp, wasn't she? 7 days. That's why we don't allow guys usually, when they mess up sometimes, we remove them 7 days. Sometimes 2 weeks. It all depends. We have to be directed by the Lord. But did you notice that nobody else could go any further? You know, when we do things, you know how many times that we stop the growth of others around us? You know, think about when you and I were out there using and doing stuff. How did it stop the growth of our family? Amen? How did things stop the progression in our life and so forth? And they all had to wait for us, right? And sometimes we didn't return. Amen? Or we lost them so that they could progress. Amen? So we got to understand here, the Lord said to him, listen, man, I speak to others in visions and dreams, but I speak to my servant face to face. And God wants to not only speak to us in visions and dreams, but he wants to speak to us face to face. And there is a way where he does speak to you face to face. There is a time when you see and you know that he is the Lord. There's times when he'll speak to you face to face through an individual. Sometimes he'll speak to you face to face in a vision or a dream. Sometimes he'll speak to you face to face through an angel. I mean, even through a stranger, all of a sudden somebody will just come up, man, and just, you'll know that that's the Lord speaking to you. And it's like, whoa, man, I know that's the Lord. I know it's the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Sometimes we get correction from the Lord face to face. But we don't want to hear it. Amen. Go to Isaiah 28. You know, so Miriam and Aaron lost a vision. They lost the purpose of what was going on, didn't they?
Amen.
And one of the things that, you know, we have a song, Lord, don't let my vision die, right? Is that what it is? Don't let me... something like that. Don't let my vision die or whatever. Light the fire, right? Yeah. Don't let my vision die. Something like that. Yeah. In other words, we want to hold on. The devil tries to steal your vision, doesn't he?
Amen.
Tries to steal your purpose of what you're supposed to do in the kingdom of God. But if you don't have that vision, you need to get it. Believe me, our purpose is not just to go get married and have a bunch of children and watch our kids grow up. That's not what it's about. That's not what it's about, man. It's more than that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
It's more than that. Hallelujah. Isaiah 28. Some of us are, oh man, I can't wait to get married and have kids. And, well, where's your vision? Well, that is my vision. Well, let me tell you something. That may be a part of it down the road, but you better get the right vision from your Father and get out of the vain vision. Hallelujah. Because God has a vision for you and a purpose. Our purpose is to expand the kingdom of God and bring glory to His name. And I'm not saying that getting married and having children might not be isn't part of it, but there's more to it than just that.
Amen.
Amen? There's more to it than just that. There's more to it than just lovey-dovey. You know, I was praying this morning. I said, Lord, please move on the body of Christ heart to adopt children.
Amen.
You know, if the body of Christ would stop trying to fulfill their own stuff and start rescuing children that are out there in need, most of them would be rescued. The problem that we fight in the body of Christ is greed and selfishness. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with having your own children. I'm not saying anything about it. But didn't Jesus say the will of God was what? To visit the orphans? Amen? Amen? Didn't He say that? How many of y'all think that Jesus would want those of us who are married and so forth to rescue a child? Amen. And bring a child into a godly home. Amen? And with maybe your own children. But at least rescue one of them. Believe me, I'm going to rescue them all. I don't think my wife could handle it though.
Praise God. Hey, Mom.
Isaiah 28. In verse 7. But they also have erred through wine and through intoxicating drink. Are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through intoxicating drink. They are swallowed up by wine. They are out of the way through intoxicating drink. They err in what?
Vision.
They stumble in judgment. For all the tables are full of vomit and filth. No place is clean. What happened? Those who had vision got sucked up in the world. They got sucked up. And they actually erred in vision, didn't they? Well, the Lord said, this is okay. Is it really? You know, one of the most important things as a child of the Most High God is to be sanctified to the Lord. If you're not sanctified to the Lord, you will get erred visions. Hello? You'll get erred visions. Lost vision to the enticements of the world, jealousy, self-exaltation. They erred and stumbled and what they perceived was true. But it wasn't, was it? Amen? Go to Jeremiah 14. Jeremiah 14. Vision. We need visions. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 14 and verse 13. verse 13, then I said, Ah, Lord God, behold, the prophet said to them, You shall not see the sword, nor shall you have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. And the Lord said to me, The prophets prophesy lies in my name. I have not sent them, commanded them, nor spoken to them. They prophesy a what? False vision. Divination. Divination means familiar spirits. They've opened themselves to demonic spirits. Why? Because they tried to bring self-exaltation to themselves, began to speak in someone's life, telling them it was of God. And it was a false vision. A worthless thing in the deceit of their what?
Heart.
Because their own heart was deceived, wasn't it?
Yes.
Woo! Jeremiah 23. In verse 16. Thus says the Lord of hosts, Do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They make you worthless. They speak a vision of their what?
Own heart.
Not from the mouth of the Lord. They continue to say to those who despise me, The Lord has said, You shall have peace. Oh, you soulish little thing, you. And to everyone who walks according to the dictates of his own heart, they say, No evil shall come upon you. It's okay. Gucci, Gucci, goo. For who has stood in the counsel of the Lord, and who has perceived and heard his word, who has marked his word and heard it? Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord has gone forth in fury, a violent whirlwind. It will fall violently on the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has executed and performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days, you will understand it perfectly. Well, see, we can understand it perfectly now. Amen. So you got to be careful about false visions. False visions open the door to familiar spirits. The Bible says that in the latter days, my people will fall from the faith. Falling from the faith is falling from the will of God, falling from the vision that God has given you. Taking heed to what? Deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. You know, if you've been convicted of what you're doing, you better get out of it. Oh, to God be the glory. Dealing with familiar spirits. No, thank you. Ezekiel chapter 12. Oh, Zeke. Now this guy's seen visions. Oh, man, I'm powerful. I'm going to sit down and talk to Zeke for a while, too. Although I might not have to, because we'll know everything when we get home, right? All my questions will be answered. There ain't no butt ministry in heaven. Hallelujah. Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 24. For no more shall there be any what? False vision or flattering divination within the house of Israel. There's a lot of that going on in the body of Christ, brothers. Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 24. For no more shall there be any false vision or flattering divination within the house of true ministries. For I am the Lord, I speak, and the word which I speak will what?
Come to pass.
It will no more be postponed. For in your days, O rebellious house, I will say the word and perform it, says the Lord God. Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, look. The house of Israel is saying the vision that he sees is for many days from now. And he prophesies of times far off. Therefore say to them, Thus says the Lord God, None of my words will be postponed anymore, but the word which I speak will be done, says the Lord God. Let me tell you something. When it's God, it comes to pass.
Yeah.
That's if you're in the will of God. Now let me share this with you. Warnings always come to pass. Because that has nothing to do whether you're in the will or not. Warnings come to pass. In other words, the Lord is saying, make a choice right now. Do this. Amen? Warnings always come to pass through when the Lord speaks, right? But if somebody prophesies in your life about something that's going to happen, you must be in the will of God for that to manifest. If you're not, it won't come to pass. Has everybody got it? Look again, somebody can tell you you're going to be a great man of God and many souls are going to come in through you. And you can say, I don't want to do it. You know what's going to happen? Nothing.
Amen.
Nothing. Because you must be in the will of God for that prophecy to come to pass. Amen? Now we know that there are promises of God, aren't there? You get right with God, He's going to rescue your house, isn't He? Right? But that's the difference of someone prophesying in your life, isn't it? They're prophesying in your life to bring encouragement for something to happen. But you still have your part. You must play. You must be in the will of God. That's why God gives you vision to confirm what the prophecy is. Does everybody understand that? One day we were doing an outreach in a drug-infested area. And I wasn't even a year old in the Lord yet. But I was involved in my church and all the prayer people and prayer warriors. We were going out there. We rented a tent, rented all this music and whatever. A woman and her husband were coming out and this, that, whatever. And they were setting up their organ to play. I didn't know how to play or sing or didn't have a mic in my hand or anything. Before that happened, the Lord told me in prayer, I want you to go see this prophet. And I said, for what? He said, because I want you to be a part of the body. I said, all right. So I went to this meeting, and the prophet pulled me out and shared with me that he saw me orchestrating all kinds of music in this place, and that's what I was doing. I said, cool, thank you, Lord, okay. I got my confirmation. So the prophecy was actually a confirmation, wasn't it? Because I already had the vision of what was going on. So I said, okay, so we went there and did it. And we had a good time and so forth. But I was in the will of God, wasn't I? So it came to pass, didn't it? Now if I wasn't in the will of God, it wasn't going to come to pass. So that means the Lord had to try, would do all kinds of things to get me in the will of God for it to come to pass. But He can never interfere with your will, can He? He does, but you still have a choice, don't you? Amen? You still have a choice. I mean, circumstances always try to get us in God's will, don't they?
Amen.
Amen. That's if we're listening. Praise God. Where are we at? Did we read it already? Well, praise God. So the Lord's visions will come to pass, won't they? For you, if you're in God's will. Daniel 1. Daniel chapter 1. Oh, hallelujah. Everybody all right? Verse 12. Now Daniel is talking to the chief steward. And he said, in verse 12, he said, please test your servants for 10 days and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be examined before you, and our appearance of young men who are, eat the portion of the king's delicacies as you see fit. So deal with your servants. So he consented with them in this matter and tested them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. Of course, you know he wasn't on a very good diet. Thus the steward took away their portion of delicacies and the wine that they were to drink and gave them vegetables. They were eating live food now, man. They were eating live food. For as for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Ooh. Now this was under the King Nebuchadnezzar when they were taken captive. So you understand something here. He says that he was given understanding in all visions. That means short term, long term, and immediate visions. Now let me share with you about an immediate vision that I've had. One time I picked up a guy and he asked me to bring him to a place. He was hitchhiking. And I had an umbrella in the car. It was sunny out. And for some reason, I saw a vision of this man taking the umbrella and stabbing me with it. And it was like immediate. And so I pulled over to the side of the road, and the man wanted to take my umbrella. I was letting him out. He said, "Let me have your umbrella." I said, "For what?" He says, "Well, just in case it rains." And I knew in the spirit, because the Lord gave me the vision, the man wanted to kill me and take the van. So I lifted up my leg and did what I had to do. I put the Word of God in his hand and kicked him out of the car. And that was that. One time I was walking in my garage and the door was slowly closing. And instantly I saw my daughter's fingers in the door. Not what was going to shut, and the other part which were ripped them right off. Immediately I turned around and I grabbed the door, and my daughter was there with her hand right in there when she wasn't even around in sight. Next thing I know, she was there. Somehow she got up there, but I didn't see her. But the Lord gave me a quick vision. Sometimes He'll give you an immediate vision for something to do right away. Bam! It could save your life. But if you're not listening, if you're not seeing, if you're dull and don't have the discernment, if you're not walking in the Spirit, you could die. You could hurt someone else. Or you can get injured. Amen? So Daniel had understanding of long-term, short-term, and immediate visions. Amen? He also understood that the visions that were from God, visions that were vain, and visions that were false. It says he understood all visions, didn't he? Long-term visions are about 1 year to 20 years. You never know when what. Short-term vision can be from 1 day to a year. An immediate vision can be 1 second to 24 hours. One day, my wife... I had a meeting the next morning with an individual, and my wife went to go take it. She went to bed because she got up at 5 in the morning, and she woke up about 2 hours later, and she said, "I had a dream." She let me know. And then I went to bed, and I had a dream. And it all had everything to do, hallelujah, with the next day. Has everybody got it? So God was preparing me for the next day. And while I was going... While I was in this meeting, the vision came in my head about what my wife had said about her dream and what my dream was about. Amen? Hallelujah. Is everybody with me? Praise God. Everybody okay? Amen? No. Praise God. Hallelujah. Turn to Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10. Is everybody there?
Amen.
Verse 7. Let's read it together. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision. Hey, listen. Some people are not going to see what you see. There's no sense of even trying to explain it to them. You're wasting your time. But a great terror fell on them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone when I saw this great vision. Sometimes God wants something for just you and Him. That's called relationship. And no strength remained in me, for my vigor was turned to frailty in me, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the sound of His words. And while I heard the sound of His words, I was in a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. Sometimes God just wants you and Him. What happened? He saw and He heard. Does everybody understand that? He saw the vision and He heard. And it was just something between Him and God, right? Go to Acts 16. Hallelujah. Acts 16 and verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Now Paul saw a man in a vision, didn't he? Saying, come to Macedonia. So it was a vision of what? Direction, wasn't it? Amen? A vision of direction. Some guys get a vision, well, God told me to leave the program 4 months prior to when I'm supposed to. Remember something, God never interrupts Himself. Somebody lost the vision. Right? Lose the vision. Guess whose hands you go into when you lose the vision? That's right. Slew foot. Right? Satan's hands. Demonic forces. Hosea chapter 12. Praise God. Hosea chapter 12, yeah. That sounds good. And verse 9 and 10. But I am the Lord your God, even since the land of Egypt. I will again make you dwell in tents, as in the days of the appointed feast. I have also spoken by the prophets, and have multiplied what? Visions. And have given symbols through the witnesses of the prophets. The multiplied visions were shared visions. People getting the same vision of purpose. Everybody got it. Multiplied visions. In fact, in Matthew 17, if you'll go there for a second. Shared visions. Some people come through the discipleship house and they get the vision of the shared vision. They stay on board and they continue on and they become a part of the ministry because they share the vision. But don't leave without a vision. Make sure it's a true vision. In verse 1 it says, now after 6 days Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on the high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with them. So, what happened? They all had a shared vision, didn't they? Amen? In verse 9, look what Jesus says. Now, as they came down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, telling them what? Tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man is risen from the dead. So they all had a shared vision, didn't they? Hallelujah. In Acts 10. Acts chapter 10. Praise God. In verse 17. Now while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry of Simon's house and stood before the gate. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. So that was an immediate vision, wasn't it? Peter had something that he had to do something. One time we had there was a guy that was here a few years ago, and I was really busy and I needed some work done in my attic. Hallelujah. And so I was always concerned about somebody falling through my attic, my ceiling. So I kind of like had a little argument with the Lord, because he said to me, don't send that person up there. I said, you know what, Lord? This is the only guy around. I don't know what to do, this, that, whatever. And then I had to go in to do a service. And when I came out of the service, I got in my car and started driving. I saw a vision that I saw his leg or whatever go through my ceiling. I said, no, don't tell me, Lord, please. I called. As soon as I called, my wife said, just a few minutes ago, he went through the ceiling. So that was an immediate vision. It wasn't a fun one, though, because the Lord was sharing with me, you should have listened to what I told you. I know you didn't, you were short-handed, this and that, and whatever. But just because you're short-handed, don't someone who can't do the job. Amen. I said, okay. Amen? So next time, I'll wait. And get counsel. And then receive it.
Praise God.
It's called an immediate vision and correction. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we all understand it. We turn to Habakkuk chapter 2. Chapter 2. Habakkuk. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's right next to Nahum. This is our last verse. We'll close here. But understand this, brothers, that it's important that we get vision. It's important that we get in the Spirit and discern whether the vision is false, vain, or true. We must have vision. Remember I share with you, it's not just about going home. It's not just about family. Because the Lord says, if you want to be my disciple, you must be able to what? Leave them. Amen. Leave them. There's nothing wrong with getting restored to your family. Praise God. Amen?
Amen?
But there's more vision to that. There's more purpose to that. God has much more for us. Amen? Sometimes we think our talents are part of our vision, and not all they always are. Many people are born with many talents, but it doesn't mean that it's always a part of the vision. The one thing we need to do is lay everything down and let God build the house so that the vision can be fulfilled. Fulfilled. Amen?
Amen.
So no matter what it is, get vision. God will give it to you. Like I said, sometimes there's a delayed vision, so you can share vision or support a vision that's already been at your path. Amen?
Amen.
So you get vision. And believe me, when you get a vision, God will give confirmation to His office to you. I see many people chase their selfish division, their self visions. Selfish visions, vain visions. It moves them right out of the will of God. And you know what? You can't do the perfect will of God then. You can do the good acceptable, but you won't be able to fulfill the perfect will of God. Because the perfect will of God for me and you is a hundredfold return. I'm not settled for 60 or 30.
Amen.
I want a hundredfold return.
Amen.
Habakkuk chapter 2, and verses 1 through 3. Read it with me. I will stand my watch. I will set myself on the rampart and watch to see what He will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. So He was waiting for what? Direction and what to do. Then the Lord answered me. So He got His answer. Here it comes. And He said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for a what? Appointed time. You know, sometimes somebody gets a vision and they think, well, now's the time. And they get disappointed. They get frustrated. They get discouraged. Because it's not the time. They go out women hunting. They try to restore things from their past, but it's not the time. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end of it, it will what? The vision will speak, and it will what? Not lie. In other words, what God has showed you will come to pass. It will manifest, and it will stay. It won't be a fly by night. Though it tarries, wait for it. Though it's been delayed, wait for it. Don't fulfill your vision. The vision will fulfill itself. Because it will surely what? Come, it will not tarry. Behold the proud. Wow. His soul is not upright in him. But the just will what? Live by his faith. And faith comes by what?
Hearing.
Oh. Hearing. So when you see the vision, you hear, you have the faith to do what you're supposed to do. But the proud don't want a vision, do they?
Amen.
That's right. They don't have vision. But it's important to get one. Amen? Everybody understand?
Amen.
Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. And Lord, we ask that you would sever us from all false and vain visions, and that your true vision will come to pass, that we may have counsel, correction, and direction, purpose, goal, and objective for your glory. Lord, we know we can do nothing without you, and we commit everything to you. I pray a blessing over each and everyone's house tonight, and over each and everyone's temple tonight, that you would be glorified, that you would speak to us in dreams and visions, that you'd continue to pour out your Spirit upon all of us. And those who resist, that you'll grant them humbleness to come to you in trust, in truth, and in spirit. Lord, we thank you. We ask that you rescue those calling out on your name tonight. Bring revival to this country. Protect the President of the United States and his cabinet members. And rescue the children and those lost souls. In Jesus' name.